from newstalkzb.co.nz, it's the Mike Hosking Breakfast with BNZ.
G'day there and welcome to the re-wrap. All the best bits from the Mike Hosking Breakfast starring Larry Williams this week on NewsTalkZB in a sillier package. I am Glenn ZB and this morning the Super Rugby quarterfinals. I think we've got the quote of the week, courtesy of Gash, for you. We'll come up with that shortly. So we'll keep it slightly sporty and talk about the NRL player who went to the school ball. Larry wants to draw everybody's attention to the Clinton Foundation in case we didn't notice a story that he noticed. And finally, Trump and his Attorney General troubles. But before any of that, the BBC pay gap. Larry is very upset about this.
Some of the BBC salaries look and smell like straight out bias against some, not all, some female employees. And you just can't escape that fact. There is a gender pay gap at the BBC. Like hosts, for example, male and female, what's it called this morning or tonight or yesterday, whatever it is, one of those programs, male and female get wildly different pay. Same show, same job, same everything, and there's, you know, £150,000, £200,000 between the male and the female. Now, I don't know whether the male's been there for 20 years, and then the females that just come on board, I don't know. But it just doesn't look good. The political editor, for example, is very good. I've forgotten her name, Laura somebody. Anyway, she's very good. BBC political editor, £200,000 a year she's on. Now, that seems a lot, well, it's short when you compare it to some of her male colleagues doing the same job. And she's the political editor. It just doesn't seem right. But anyway, what's going to happen because of all of this? Well, a lot of people are angry. The public are angry because they have this licence fee and the BBC, I think they collect over billions of pounds a year in the licence fee. So they're not very happy with some of this. And neither are the employees, of course. There's going to be legal action. Legal action pending. Going to cost a lot of money, this. The BBC environment will be toxic for a very, very long time.
So no change there. It is, I've said before, I don't understand why women aren't just automatically paid more than their male counterparts simply because they have to put up with their male counterparts. It's like that pain, that emotional wear and tear should be offset with a massive payment of some kind. It's different. If they're in a workplace where there are only women, then they don't get that extra payment. All right, it's like danger money. Now, Super Final quarter. It's the Super Rugby quarterfinals. That's what it is. Not many women on display here. I think they're mostly men's teams. Chiefs will be playing. But I tell you what, here comes the quote of the week. I'm sure of it.
What do you think? Let's look at the Hurricanes tonight. They say it's going to be below 0 degrees. It's going to be cold. What would the Hurricanes be favourites over the Brumbies? What do you reckon?
Look, Brumbies finished ninth on the table. They are only into the top eight by virtue of the fact that Australia is guaranteed a place in the quarterfinals. The Blues finished ahead. Everyone's had a crack at the Blues this week. They finished ahead of the Brumbies. I think all that remains is for the Hurricanes to set fire to the corpse of Australian rugby, really. I think they'll do it, and they'll do it comfortably. Yeah, it will be cold. I was the final there in 2000 when it was snowing. I'm a Cantab. Yeah. Christchurch gets cold. Man, Canberra gets seriously cold.
Yeah. What about the Chiefs versus the Stormers? They lost there in the regular season. How do you see that going?
Yeah, well, they, you know, that was one of only two losses that the Chiefs had. But you look at who's coming back into the mix for them this week: Brodie Retallick, Sam Kane, Anton Leonard-Brown. They've got a bit of experience. Donald at second five with Nati out. Nati's a loss, but Donald's experience. So look, the Stormers will fling it around. It'll be an entertaining game. But I think, you know, again, just too many big guns, I think, in this Chiefs side. And they know how to get the job done at playoffs time as well. I think that's pretty important for the Chiefs, given their history over the last 5 or so years.
Yes, thank you, Brian Ashby, otherwise known as Gash, for complicated reasons. That quote I was talking about is the Hurricane setting fire to the corpse of Australian rugby. I thought that was nice. I'm standing here with my red, yellow and black hat on, I'd like to say it's in support of the Chiefs, but it, we're, for some reason, another complicated reason, we're having a German dress-up day today. So I was able to kill two birds with one stone there, or set fire to two corpses with one match, as it were. Got way off track here. Let's get back into it with the NRL player going to the school ball. That sounds dodgy to me, but I don't think it was.
Tell us about rugby league player Trent Hodkinson.
Yeah, beautiful story. This, I mean, you know, you hear all these horrible stories about rugby league players on the booze and punching people. Well, this guy's unbelievable story. Wednesday night, there's a young girl. He plays for the Newcastle Knights, Trent Hodkinson. Wednesday night, there's a young girl's year 10 school formal, Hannah Rye, her name. And tragically, she's terminally ill. She's got a dreadful, very rare cancer. Anyway, a year or so ago, she was one of the young people who go along to the Newcastle Knights games. There, they were taken into the room. She met Trent Hodkinson, and for some reason, they stayed in touch. Well, her school formal was coming up. She didn't have a date, and so she sent him a text message, apparently. He said, yeah, I'd love to go with you. So he's turned up at the home with a big bunch of flowers. They've hopped in the limo. They've gone off to the formal on Wednesday night. She was the star of the show. Wasn't a dry eye in the house, and he didn't want any credit or anything like that. He just said, man, I'm just here with a friend, going to the dance with her. And her mother said it was the best night of her daughter's life. Beautiful.
I wonder if they still had to pay for the dress, the hair, the nails, the limousine, the... Jeez, that thing's a rort, that whole ball situation. It's a rort. They need to put a stop to it. You're in a weird mood today, Glenn ZB. Stop talking to yourself in front of people as well. Now, Larry, I thought he was also in a bit of a weird mood as well. He was really upset about that whole gender pay gap at the BBC, and he's been really upset about this Clinton Foundation story, which none of us care about as well.
The government has continued its support of the Clinton Foundation. I find this deeply troubling for a number of reasons. It's officially the Clinton Health Initiative that our money, taxpayers' money, is going to, but it's the same thing. It's an offshoot. It can hardly be described as independent of the Clinton Foundation. That our government has forked out another $2.4 million in May, just a few months ago, is astounding. $2.4 million in May, after Australia bailed on all of this last year. Australia could see what was going on here and they got out of it. So the fact that Australia got out and we haven't is inexplicable. $9 million, as I understand it, in total has gone to this Clinton subsidiary. The money is apparently going to aid in Africa. That's the spin anyway. Excuse me, why does it have to go via, if we want to give some money, some aid to Africa, why does it have to go via a foreign political organisation, an organisation that has been so criticised?
So after listening to that, are you outraged by that situation? Seems, I don't know if it was a Friday thing to talk about, to be honest. If I really want to be critical with my editorial advice for Larry, which I'm not qualified to give. Maybe he could. It's more like something that you bring up on a Tuesday, I feel like, that whole topic. As opposed to this one, which I thought was very appropriate.
It's in America. Obamacare fell over. You see, it ain't going to happen. So Trump has broken a promise there. Congress makes the laws, of course. Not Trump, not the president. He signs them off. Obamacare, of course, though, is a mess. And the truth is that neither Republicans or Democrats are too bothered with fixing it. But Trump, he should never have promised something that he couldn't deliver on. And just overnight, the president is talking about his auditor, attorney general, should I say, Jeff Sessions.
So Jeff Sessions takes the job, gets into the job, recuses himself. I then have, which, frankly, I think is very unfair to the president. How do you take a job and then recuse yourself? If he would have recused himself before the job, I would have said, thanks, Jeff, but I can't, you know, I'm not going to take you. It's extremely unfair, and that's a mild word, to the president.
Yeah, well...
That's twice he referred to himself as the president.
Yeah, but he's being honest, isn't it? You know, he's saying, well, I wouldn't have appointed... I think Sessions is going to be gone anytime soon. That's what you can take out of that.
Anyway, I see all those jobs he saved at Carrier are going to Mexico now as well, by the way.
Okay, all right. Well, he's promising stuff he can't do, so like the wall and other stuff.
Yeah, I feel uncomfortable. I mean, is it as bad as referring to himself as Donald or Mr. Trump? You know, it's not fair on Mr. Trump. Like, if he said that, that'd be weird. He knows he's the president, right? I just thought it was a strange thing to say. I'm Glenn ZB. That was the rewrap for Friday and the week. Collect up all the little bits of wrapping paper left over from this week, and maybe we can make a really colourful present for you on Monday. I'll see you then.